This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio. Unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on this Thursday morning, December 12th. Nice to have you along. You can join the program anytime by phone at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or you can text us at that number or use the Civic Media app as well. I'm tap dancing right now. I don't want to have to put these numbers back up on screen for our social media viewers or read them for our fine radio listeners. But here they come. Well, you know what? If I have to read these numbers, then meteorologist Brittany Merlot is going to suffer along with me right now.
It is, all right.
It's 9 below here in Chippewa Falls. The wind chill is 25 below. Why are you giving me a fist pump over there? You're happy about this.
I am. We're Wisconsin strong. This is when we make headlines and we get to brag about who is the coldest town. Like I see right now, Hayward, 14 below on your list.
Yep.
You know, bragging rights.
I changed my mind, Pat. Ridicule her. Just ridicule her.
Oh, my God. -9. La Crosse, 5 below. Amory, 11 below. Wisconsin Rapids, -8. Green Bay, 2 below. Madison, 1 below. Waukesha, it's now 4 degrees below zero. And still tropical at Radio Park in Racine, where it is 2 above. Right. I am on.
Woo!
Yeah. All right. Well, while he puts on some more of the SPF zero over there, why don't you tell us how long is this deep freeze going to last?
Oh, it's going to be here all day today. So we've still got wind chills that are much brutal than our actual temperatures. Those winds are still whipping at 15 to 25 miles per hour, mainly in the Fox Valley and along the lakeshore. So it's feeling anywhere from 15 below to 35 below. And right now, Rhinelander's feeling it the worst. Same thing into Wausau, the Fox Valley, and Milwaukee. So those winds will slowly ease throughout the afternoon. That's going to ease up the wind chills and what it feels like to us. But those temperatures aren't going anywhere. In fact, highs today will stay in the single digits for a majority of us. It looks like you could stay below zero into northwest Wisconsin all day today. And then, of course, further south towards the state line, you could hit double digits near a high of 10. That's it. Just 10 degrees will be the warmest in the entire state. So we fall back sub-zero overnight tonight, all of us back below zero. But then tomorrow, the winds shift out of the south. They start to get a little feisty and they warm us up to the teens to low 20s. It'll be sunny both today and tomorrow, so it'll look pretty. It just won't feel pretty. And then we start to really warm up over the weekend, but that's also when a big, messy system is headed our way Saturday, where we're talking about rain, ice accumulations, and snow accumulations as well. Wisconsin's going to get hit hard with that one.
Ooh, you're just all full of winter for us today, aren't you?
This week is wild. I'm sorry, Pat.
Yeah. Alicia writes in, ew, the machine I use for work was frozen by the time I got to Marinette. So I hope that gets better for you, Alicia. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. Clear and cold, 8 below with a wind chill of -24. Busy plowing snow yesterday around Tigerton. Only had 3/4 inch of snow total. I want to thank Tommy from St. Anthony's Catholic Church in Tigerton getting some hot chocolate while I was working yesterday. And happy birthday, Greg. I hope you have a great day. And Alicia adds in a happy birthday as well to our own Greg Bach. Who's
happy birthday.
Yeah, 29 again.
Oh,
congratulations.
Stop it.
Yeah.
You see the warm weather I gave you?
Yeah. I also found a celebrity reading of the weather from one John Candy from the movie Rookie of the Year here. This is for me. This is all for me.
All right.
Oh, that didn't work the way I wanted. He said two. Never mind. Moving on. Yeah.
Aww.
No. But thank you for the birthday wishes, and thank you for the tropical-esque weather.
Esque. Yes.
Best I could do.
More ask than tropical. Thank you, Brittany. Have a great day.
You too, guys.
All right, time for the Civic Media Grown-Up Gift List Text to Win Contest. For it, you're going to need the Civic Media app and use the text button at the bottom of your screen on one of our stations to send this hour's keyword by the end of this hour for your chance to win. This hour's keyword for $100 from somebody chosen at random from among our entries is Merry, M-E-R-R-Y, as in Merry Christmas. Merry, M-E-R-R-Y, as in Merry Christmas, is this hour's keyword. Each hour's keyword is different throughout the course of the day. And then there is a winner chosen randomly. And then 8 grand prize winners will be chosen randomly at the end of the contest to pick up a gift from our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Prizes include a snowblower, a luggage set, an espresso machine, a humidifier, a robot vacuum, and Tony keeps calling his, it's his own robot butler, he says. You can have your own private robot butler, or at least one that vacuums. And your next chance to win is at 11 a.m. as part of the grown-up gift list text to win contest, a statewide contest among stations all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking to Sean Fetteplace from Main Street Alliance. It's been a while since we've visited with Sean. And Main Street Alliance is basically the small business alternative to Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, because the big corporations, they got millions of bucks. They got high-priced suits that are, you know, patrolling the state capitol to get things done for big business. That's not necessarily the thing that small business needs. Actually, quite often, what small business needs, you know, the real backbone of the Wisconsin economy here, are things that take care of their workers and provide a level playing field for all businesses. And so Sean's going to talk about the need to expand Medicaid and other priorities for the next session of the Wisconsin legislature coming up later this hour. We will talk to Todd Alba as well about what's coming up on his show, which you can hear weekday afternoons here across the Civic Media Radio Network. The Badger women's basketball team was in action last night. They beat Butler 71-64. The Badger women improved to 9-2 on the season. They've got a 4-game winning streak going. The Badger men's basketball team will play Butler coming up on Saturday. And we now know the Milwaukee Bucks will play the Atlanta Hawks on Saturday in Vegas in the semifinals of the NBA's in-season tournament, the Emirates Cup. And the Green Bay Packers play next on Sunday Night Football. Pre-game starts at 5 p.m. Sunday on Civic Media stations in Racine, Kenosha, Richland Center, and Park Falls. Go to civicmedia.us to learn a little more. So one thing that we haven't touched on yet for the next election, which is going to be April 1st in Wisconsin. These are the spring nonpartisan elections. And so local government posts, school boards, but also a state Supreme Court race that we've talked about, an extremely important state Supreme Court race. But we have not really gotten into the other big race on the ballot that day, and that will be for state superintendent of public instruction. The incumbent, Jill Underley, is going to be running for a second term. She's the former superintendent in Pecatonica. But she does have one challenger so far. The filing deadline is, I want to say, January 7th. And so there's still time for any other candidates to file. If there are three candidates or more, then there will be a primary in February to decide which two candidates advance to the April 1st election. And by the way, the same can be said for the state Supreme Court race. Again, right now there's two candidates, but if three or more get in, then that kicks in a February primary. But getting back to the DPI race, the Department of Public Instruction, State Superintendent Underley is now facing a challenge from the superintendent in Sauk Prairie, Jeff Wright, who is getting in the race. And he, too, much like Underley, is a progressive. There is not a conservative candidate in the race for state superintendent, not yet anyway. So you may wonder, well, what's the background on this, on having two progressives running, one challenging the incumbent? A lot of the details I'm going to give you here were first reported by Baylor Spears in the Wisconsin Examiner. Again, cannot strongly recommend enough making the Wisconsin Examiner part of your daily reading along with Up North News. Head to wisconsinexaminer.com to learn more. Baylor Spears put together the story last week on Jeff Wright's decision to challenge Jill Underly. Underly has been a very strong, vocal, and tireless advocate for education in an era where it is being politicized more than ever by people on the far right who are looking to have long been looking to turn public schools and especially teachers into the bad guys. And they've been playing culture wars with our schools, especially geared toward students in the LGBTQ community. And Dr. Underly has been an advocate for them, as well as an advocate for, you know, improved funding from the state. And Jill Underly is endorsed by the Wisconsin Democratic Party, which does not have to endorse in a nonpartisan election, but they chose to because of her advocacy. As for Mr. Wright, on the other hand, Jeff Wright is endorsed by the Wisconsin Education Association Council's Political Action Committee. So the PAC that belongs to WEAC has decided, as the largest teachers union in the state, that they are going to back Jeff Wright in this race. So you've got a WEAC-backed candidate and a Democratic Party-backed candidate at this point. And the gist of the differences appears to be in not Dr. Underly's advocacy for education, but more of the inner workings and whether there's enough inclusiveness, including folks from the teachers' unions, including folks from the state school district administrators group, and other interests. It's about communication. It's about, I guess, teamwork might be some way to put it. Either one, Wright or Underly, talk about, you know, just continuing the fight for improved state funding. And let me sidetrack just a moment before I come back to the difference between the two candidates and talk about that. Everybody's getting their property tax bills this week, and they're seeing a lot of money there under the school district line. A lot of that money never went to schools. It's property tax relief, but Republicans called it a school levy tax credit, even though it doesn't benefit schools one bit. My old station, WEAU TV in Eau Claire at WEAU.com, has a good story up there put up by Kim Leadholm about the tax levies going up. And while some people are just doing stories that focus on the school districts, others like this one rightly point to a legislature, a Republican-led legislature, that's been derelict for years on school funding. And they quote Christian Phelps, the representative-elect in the Chippewa Valley. So we'll talk more about the DPI race coming up in just a bit. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It was 100 years ago today that George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue received its premiere in New York, with Gershwin playing the piano at the time in a concert titled An Experiment in Modern Music, an experiment that seemed to work out pretty well. It's something I never get tired of listening, and not just in the United Airlines commercials. Like, actually, the actual song is worth talking about or worth listening to. Let me make sure as I get back to our story about the race for state superintendent, and I want to make sure I'm very clear about this. Somebody noticed it on the text line as well, that when I talk about the DPI race and when I talk about the challenger, Sauk Prairie Superintendent Jeff Wright, getting supported by WEAC, it was by WEAC's Political Action Committee, That's not the same thing as an endorsement from WEAC. And as Baylor Spears notes in her story in the Wisconsin Examiner, that is part of a much larger process to get the full union endorsement. But clearly what we are seeing are people in WEAC and people in the district administrators' circles that are looking to support a challenger to Jill Underlie in this race. In fact, going on to talk about Jeff Wright here, in the Wisconsin Examiner article, he cites concerns about whether DPI has done enough to recruit and retain educators. He says he's heard, quote, palpable frustration from educators about the change to standardized testing scores. He said he would, if elected, try to minimize partisanship, which might be really tough to do given the environment that we're in. There has been no shortage of efforts by people looking to appeal to Republican lawmakers to say that, you know, supporting education should be a nonpartisan thing. And all that gets them is a poke in the eye back from Republicans and more budget cuts and more culture war restrictions that come onto them. This is a group in the legislature that in the last budget cycle, the Joint Finance Committee did not even invite the Department of Public Instruction to come in and testify. Again, I just want to emphasize that. Your legislature, your Republican-led legislature, when crafting a budget, does not even do the Department of Public Instruction the courtesy of having them testify about what they would like to see, what they would advocate for. And of course, when Dr. Underlie recently talked about how she'd like to see a lot of that state surplus go toward education, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said that it was basically dead on arrival, and he hid behind, once again, an old trick of claiming amazing, overwhelming, record-setting support for public schools by the Republican-led legislature, when in fact it's now been 16 years since the legislature had its state aid to schools keeping up with inflation. A lot of what you see on your property tax bill is simply pass-through money that did not actually go to benefit any school kids, teachers, or others in the state. But back to the superintendent's race, Jeff Wright says he was encouraged to run by educators and education professionals associations. WEAC spokesperson Christina Bry, however, notes that the Political Action Committee's recommendation is one part of a lengthy endorsement process, and she could not comment on the specifics. Bry did tell the Examiner that Wisconsin educators are looking for strong and bold leadership. She said some of the issues at play include figuring out how to keep teachers and support staff, how to address the workplace environment, how to handle challenging student behaviors, and how to address school funding challenges. But then there are supporters of Jeff Wright, including those in the Democratic Party, such as State Party Chair Ben Wickler, who called Jill Underlie a steadfast advocate for students, parents, and schools. Wickler said, from fighting to give rural school districts a seat at the table, to expanding mental health services in schools, to ensuring every school and teacher and student has the resources they need to succeed, Dr. Underlie is the proven leader we need championing our kids in the Department of Public Instruction. But that Democratic Party endorsement prompted a response from Jeff Wright, who said it shows that party insiders, as he put it, are ignoring the voices of teachers, administrators, and other stakeholders, and in Wright's words, quote, settling for the division and mismanagement that have marked Superintendent Underlie's tenure, ignoring failures that are isolating DPI from discussions about the future of Wisconsin's public schools. Again, I would add that it probably has less to do with who the state superintendent is than more of a partisan ideology of what we see in Madison. But again, you see already that there are folks who are public education advocates and progressives, and some of whom have seen what Jill Underlie has done these past 4 years and support her for a second term, and others are looking at what she's done and they have decided to support the challenger, Jeff Wright. In both cases, while you're going to have an education advocate, there's obviously some concern in progressive circles that this kind of internal debate could get a little messy. And will that impact turn out on April 1st when there's also a state Supreme Court race that does feature a very clear conservative, Scott Walker's former attorney general, running against a Dane County judge? So there will be so much more to follow on this story over the next couple of months, not the least of which is whether there will be a primary, and whether there is or not, then looking at April 1st and looking at what kind of voter turnout will be there, and local school board races, whether those will impact turnout as well. That's why we had a guest on yesterday talking all about the importance of running for school board, and that if you want to learn more, there is still time till January 6th or 7th to get on the ballot. So you can still run for school board, but you need to make a decision pretty quick here. And you probably should, because chances are there's somebody from either Moms for Liberty or some other far right group that's already thinking about running for seats on your local school board. And you need to make that decision as to who best represents the kids and who best represents education in your hometown. Who's going to be the champion for that? It could be you. And contact your local school district if you'd like to learn more about that. When we come back, we're going to talk to our friend Sean Fetteplace from Main Street Alliance about other priorities for the upcoming legislative session for small business. That's coming up next. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
What do you get when you fall in love? A guy with a pen to burst your bubble. That's what you get for all your trouble.
That's Dionne Warwick, one of her many hits. She is 84 years old today. You can catch birthdays and other big events in our daily history lesson every weekday morning at 6:50 here on Up North News Radio. Quick reminder that there's plenty of sports you can hear across the Civic Media Radio Network, including Badger men's hockey on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. They'll be playing Michigan coming up tomorrow at 4:30 and Saturday at 5:30. Then the Badger men's basketball team will be in action Saturday against Butler. Coverage begins at 12:30 on stations in Amory, Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center. Again, head to civicmedia.us to learn more about that. And don't forget, you can sign up for our newsletter at Up North News. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Today in the newsletter, there's a story about an Airbnb that was designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. And just some beautiful pictures and links to the listing and how much it would cost you to stay there. And also my column there, touching a bit on what we talked about in the last segment, and that is state education funding and how Republicans give the same message over and over again, and it sinks in with folks whether it's true or not, and how important it is for progressives to be more consistently on message. Again, sign up for the newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. But that actually dovetails nicely into what we're talking about here with our friend Sean Fetteplace from Main Street Alliance, because, again, we're going to be plowing some familiar territory here, but it can't be said enough that if you ever get a chance to talk to one of your legislators, especially a Republican one, to tell them about the importance of expanding Medicaid, strengthening Badger Care, and providing more stable, affordable insurance to working families, Wisconsin is on a very short list of states that are missing the ball on us and not getting what they could be getting for their federal tax dollars. And Sean Fedeplace is here to tell us about more of that and other priorities coming up in 2025 for the legislature and for Congress. Sean, good morning. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Pat?
Good, good. So nice to have you back here. You are one tireless soul doing what you do for Main Street Alliance at different levels. In fact, what is your current title and what all are you doing with the group these days?
Yeah, so I'm the National Campaigns Director. Started focusing purely on Wisconsin and the Midwest as well. The 2023 legislative session in Minnesota was especially fruitful with passage of paid leave. I hope we can get there in our own state in the near term. And so I would say this year, we have a couple states we're focused on. Virginia has elections in 2025, so we'll be doing some work there. There's a couple of states that are in the process of passing paid leave. New Mexico, it looks like they're on the cusp of getting it done. Michigan, there was a session late last night. So just, we're in a lot of different states trying to make a difference. But, Wisconsin always has a very special place in my heart. And now that we're a democracy again, there's a lot of work to do.
Amen to that. When you list all of these things, the progress that's being made in other states, and we talked a bit about this yesterday, that, where Wisconsinites, where their values really are, Americans, where their values really are, when given a chance to fight for those values on an individual basis, they take up the mantle. They approve things like, access to reproductive health care. They support things like gun safety. They support things like hiking the minimum wage and having affordable health care. But they get there because of grassroots work from groups like yours, because you're speaking on behalf of, my goodness, Sean, how many small businesses now?
Yeah, we have about 2,000 members in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. About 30,000 members nationally. And, our members generally are the smallest of the small, a lot of sole proprietors, a lot of folks who have a lot of very creative businesses. And, what's in their interest is not necessarily what's in the same interest of a large business. And so one thing I was really excited about when joining MSA about 4.5 years ago is that, a lot of the state chamber, then FIBs of the world, they pretended like they had sole authority in terms of the perspective of business, and it's just not true. So we're excited. I mean, we've been active in the building, in the legislature in the past. I do think there's a lot more opportunities this upcoming year than there has been in recent memory. So we're looking forward to taking some of that organization and spending a lot of time in the Capitol this year.
Let's talk about that from a foundational standpoint. Why a group like this is advocating for things that involve, government investing in people as well as in businesses. And the way that I, some would say, oversimplify it is pretty simple. There's two small businesses, right across the street from each other. They're competitors. One wants to be even better to their employees and give them affordable health care and pay minimum wage or more. And the other doesn't, and consequently is at a competitive advantage for, being worse to their employees or to their customers or to the environment. So if you can get those businesses on a level playing field, you can get back to competing widget versus widget. Now, that's the scenario that says that there are some small business owners who are not necessarily benevolent. I'm guessing you probably come at this from a different standpoint, and that is that, all of your small business members would like to make better investments in their workers, and that's something that government has a role to play.
For sure. And, I think it's true. I mean, not all small business owners are share our values, but the folks who are members of MSA do. And I think that the contrast we usually focus on is, I'll use an example. I won't name our member just out of, it's a sensitive relationship, but there's a larger business in Mount Horeb that is across the street from MSA business. And that place, they have a kitchen and they can afford to provide health insurance and paid leave and childcare benefits, and they can pay more than that small business. And so they're at a competitive disadvantage. So there's a role for government to help level the playing field on things like healthcare and childcare and make sure that there's like a floor for wages. And, you know, really that will help to actually increase entrepreneurship and increase small business growth. You know, if somebody's already big, they don't necessarily need as much help, right? The folks who are getting started, about 20% of small businesses fail in the first 2 years, 50% fail in the first 5 years. And we have 20 million new businesses that have been formed since the beginning of the pandemic. You know, it's our job to make sure that those 20 million survive the next 5 years and to make sure they have what they need. So that means having better policy.
Often helps if I take that mute button off, huh? So let's talk about the policy end of it at the state level, specifically about the Medicaid expansion. Medicaid is known as Badger Care here in Wisconsin. And Wisconsin is now down to a list of 10, I think it might even be close to, you know, we're getting closer to 9 states that have not accepted federal funds through the Medicaid expansion to strengthen Badger Care to cover more families. Sean, I know you've been banging this drum for a while. You know that the comeback from, you know, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and other Republican leaders is that they've already done a lot to make Medicaid more accessible to Wisconsin workers, but certainly seems like there's room for improvement. So how do you, what would be your comeback to that Republican talking point about, you know, that enough has already been done for Medicaid in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so it was actually funny. I try not to make myself the center of attention. Recently, I responded to a tweet or an X, I don't know what they call it now, but like, where he made some claims about Medicaid. And I responded with a very good Wisconsin Policy Forum report that came out not that long ago, a month or two ago, that showed that we had spent $2.4 billion extra dollars to have worse coverage and that we're leaving money on the table as well moving forward. And, you know, he claimed that it's socialized medicine. The Republicans, what they did instead of taking the expansion when they should have, was they dumped people into the marketplace. And those folks were eligible for subsidies. Now, does that mean they can get coverage for relatively low cost on the front end? Sure. But there's a deductible. There are out-of-pocket costs. And if you're making $18,000, $19,000, $22,000 a year, you can't afford a several thousand-dollar deductible. So it is dishonest to say that the status quo is adequate. Badger Care, anybody's ever been on it, will tell you it's a very good program. We have a tendency in our state to have really well-run government programs. Our pension system is another example of that. And so, you know, what all we're asking is first just to take the money. And frankly, you look at what states have taken it. North Carolina took it. They had a Republican supermajority. Iowa has a Republican governor. They took it. Indiana. I mean, it's literally it's us in the Deep South. Basically, that's
left. It is. That's just how the map looks. It's us in the Deep South and maybe a couple of red states out in the Mountain West. And there's just something different about the Republican mindset here that says we're not going to do what every other state among us has done. And so it's no wonder that it's something that maybe some folks are tired of hearing about, but it's still, again, such a necessity here, and we're at a competitive disadvantage compared to other states. Let me then turn with our remaining time to the national level, because there's going to be a big debate in Congress on something that affects small businesses. And basically, folks, for shorthand, we'll refer to it as the 2017, you know, Trump tax plan, which, again, was heavily tilted toward the very wealthy. And it was intended to expire, well, in the not too distant future here. And if it just expires on its own, it's going to come with some ramifications. And so it really is important for Congress to look at the 2017, the actual title is the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, and make some decisions on whether to keep some of these cuts, modify some of the cuts, you know, how to structure things overall. So you've got a special event coming up to get people to plug into that discussion.
That's right. So next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Central, we're going to have a webinar. We'll be joined by Senator Elizabeth Warren, who's really helping to lead the fight in the Senate on this issue. And, you know, there are major changes that need to happen with reauthorization. We need to make sure that the IRS remains fully funded. It's important to make sure that we have the revenue and that tax cheats aren't able to get away with just burying the IRS and lawyers and court fees. You have the Affordable Care Act marketplace. There's enhanced subsidies that were put in place during the Biden years. If those expire, somebody making $60,000 a year will see a $3,000 increase in their premium costs per year. And there's something called the pass-through deduction, which is sounds really technical. It's just a tax break that small businesses and larger businesses receive. The distributional benefit, though, the people get the most are the ones who make the most. And that needs to be fixed. The formula needs to focus more on the smaller operators. And so if you want to join us, learn more about the policy and see ways to plug in to put pressure on your members of Congress to make those changes, just go to MainStreetAlliance.org and go to the latest, and you'll find the event page there.
And again, that's MainStreetAlliance.org. Click on the latest and events, and you'll find out more about this Tax Cuts and Job Act small business briefing on the 17th that afternoon. Get yourself all signed up for that. Because, again, Sean, the lack of, shall we say, a voice by small business and by ordinary families is essentially tacit approval to continue to keep these things rigged, you know, toward millionaires and billionaires. And there's really, despite people's feelings about the election results, there's really no reason for anybody to stay on the sidelines, is there, with this new Congress?
Yeah, I don't think too many people voted because they want to give more tax breaks to the very wealthy.
Right.
And so it is really important to engage. The House Republicans only have a 2-seat majority once the nominees are confirmed. That's going to make... not that I have a lot of sympathy for Speaker Johnson, but that's going to make it tough for him to pull together a coalition. So there may be times where he needs Democratic votes to get things through. And so we need to keep up the pressure to ensure that we get as good of legislation as we can in these years and hold the Trump administration accountable.
There you go. And again, learn more at MainStreetAlliance.org. Sean Fetteplace, nice to connect again. Thanks so much. Happy holidays. We'll talk to you in the new year.
Sounds good. Thanks so much. Happy holidays.
You bet. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Luke Mathers about some of what you can find across the Civic Media Radio Network right after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
In honor of the anniversary of Bob Barker's birth, a little Price is Right for you here as Luke Mathers joins us on this Thursday morning. Let's see. We get a comment from Tony on YouTube. Does Greg get a complimentary grown-up gift for his birthday?
Nope.
Luke,
I don't work
think
here.
Pick anything off the grown-up gift list, but he certainly does deserve a grown-up gift. Wouldn't you agree?
I absolutely agree. But yeah, nothing off of those 8 random prizes for our winners. This text to win statewide contest.
Which, by the way, the key word is Mary. You have till the end of the hour to text Mary, M-E-R-R-Y, as in Christmas. Merry Christmas. Text that. There'll be a new word at 11, and then another one during Todd Alba's show, and another one during Dom Salvia's show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. I pay correct. Attention.
And for
read
folks that don't know when those hours are, outside of the 7 a.m. hour here, we've got the 11 a.m. hour, the 1 p.m. hour, and the 4 p.m. hour.
There we go. All right. Like I said, I've been thrown off my game ever since I realized I completely dropped the ball on Greg's birthday here. So I'm... what are you going to do, Greg? Do you get a special dinner? Do you have a favorite restaurant that... you know, Bridget takes you to what's
so it is whatever, honestly, it's whatever I want to do, but I kind of don't want to do anything. It's so cold outside that,
yeah,
like,
I told my about December birthdays.
I told my friend this. I said, at the very least, I'm going to sit on my couch, watch TV, probably take a nice long nap and eat some fun food with Bridget, or at the absolute best version, I'm going to go buy a brand new car. So One of the two things.
Dun, 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 dun,
but like, dun, it's, dun, 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 it's
a new car.
It's the thing. It comes from California Mission. And I want to go take a look at this car. It's in Illinois. It's close to the house.
Oh, you're serious?
Yes, I'm okay. Serious. I want to get a new car before.
Come on, Pat. You don't know about the birthday discounts. You get your free Big Mac at McDonald's, and you get a discount on a new car.
I guess
you just got to flaunt that it's your birthday.
Yeah.
Take a look at my ID. Take a look at my paper ID that I got because I got the new real ID because I'm an adult.
If you see what day today is, yeah. I will please take my birthday discount.
Can I also get a free Grand Slam, sir? This isn't Denny's. I don't care. It's my birthday. But yeah,
there you go. That's another one. That's
I want to get a new to me car before tariffs kick in and make everything impossible. So,
do you know? And Sherry's already at work, so she can kill me later that I'm talking about this. But she actually did play the birthday card, no pun intended, on her birthday. The driver's when she got pulled over one day. And she did not have her license with her. She was, 22, 23 years old? 22, I think, at the time. We were newly married. And she gets pulled over. And the officer goes, do you have your license? And I didn't bring it. Well, when's your birthday? Today. And it did
you
happen.
You might have believed me, officer.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, he went back to his car. He ran, the information and, gave her a warning. And I'm just like, I could have never pulled that off.
I have gripe. Can I? It's my birthday. Can I make one old man gripe right now? I'll make it very fast.
Why not? You're an older man as of today, so go for it.
The young people, and I don't like starting sentences with that because it sounds divisive and it sounds rude, but kids who are under the age of 25 have no concept of carrying their ID on them. The amount of it happened last night at the open mic. I will guarantee you for every show open like we do, I will tell at least one kid 25 years or younger of age they can't come into the club because they don't have their ID, and they'll say the exact same thing next. I have a picture on my phone. I'd be like, that is not a valid ID. Oh, I don't have it with me. Do you have a wallet? Yes. Do you have your phone? Yes. Why don't you have your ID? I left it at home. That make sense. I'm not kidding you, man.
I agree.
It's the only old man stance I take. I had a kid.
That's not even an old man stance. I feel like that's just a good stance as a.
But it makes. But it makes
basic. That you need somebody's IDs.
Yeah,
to
but
let them in.
But because they're so young and I'm so much older than them, I had a kid once come in. And I said, "Where's your ID?" He turned to his dad. He was 22. Turned to his dad and said, "You didn't tell me I needed my ID." I'm like, "You're an adult.
You're 4 years past being an adult. That's yeah."
Well, here as long as we're picking on the young people.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's talk about Dan Schaefer. Dan Schaefer, political editor, the Recombobulation area, and he puts on Blue Sky here, that Yacht Rock documentary was super fun, even if I still think most of that music sucks, LOL.
What?
And I posted back, I feel attacked, with a gif of somebody attacking youths, because Dan Schaefer is now officially a youth in my book.
I'm younger than Dan Schaefer, so I don't know if I can participate in this old man griping a Dan Schaefer segment.
Well, you can for his feelings on Yacht Rock, okay? That's it. I mean, Tony's in there going, hey, this is bananas. Alicia puts in, I had to tell my 20-year-old they need to have their ID on them all the time. Come on.
So,
you know?
Dan is how old, 35, 34?
Mid-30s.
He'll come around. I think Yacht Rock took me until my late 30s, early 40s to appreciate all of it. Like, there were songs I liked, but appreciating the total sum of the contribution to music, yeah, he'll come around.
See, I just got caught up to speed fast because I had to produce Pat Kreitlow on the radio, and therefore,
yeah, there was a crash course. Things,
you got to lean into it, folks. Otherwise, it's just too painful.
Yes, it is. It's just submission is always preferred. So I'm glad to have you on my side. Good. Left you all of about 20 seconds to tell us anything new on Civic Media that we should be listening for, or just pitch the contest again.
I was going to say, we're doing an excellent job with our grown-up giveaway with the Text to Win contest. So you want to be listening to your favorite Civic Media stations all throughout the day, 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. You can be listening to the news talk side of things. You can be listening to the music side of things. Whatever it is, leave Civic Media on and up for your chance to participate. Ooh, hear that code word and text to win.
I love that.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Mathers.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen.
Have a great day. Birthday boy Bach is back at 10 a.m. for Matt and Air on Air, where he's going to get much better birthday treatment.
Yay!
See you tomorrow,
thanks,
buddy.
Guys.
Thank you.
Yep.
And thanks to all of you for joining us as well for Up North News Radio. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Follow us at upnorthnewswi.com. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow morning here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.